You're listening to
Let's Talk Real Talk.
What's up, guys? We are back. Woo! And right just around the holiday season. Well, I mean, we're in the holiday season. We have Catherine, as always.
Hello.
And today, we mentioned this in the last episode, but we were able to get her on. We have our special guest, Kayla. Woo!
Hey, nice to see you guys.
Yeah, we're all virtual. it sucks that we're all virtual, but you know, it's fine. And also, I just want to say RIP to you, Kayla, because just minutes before we started this recording, her phone literally like died.
Yeah. I'm using my mom's phone right now.
What happened? Is it just like an old phone, or was it just
It's only 2 years old, but it has a problem that's pretty common where it just turns into a brick, doesn't turn on, and it's dead.
We love that.
So yeah.
You know, technology is so smart, you know? but yeah, so I guess we're just gonna go straight into this. Catherine, do you want to ask this first question? It's kind of the one I had highlighted blue. I know RIP. I don't want to say we stole it from our buddy Ryan, but we started doing this and I'm like, well, it makes sense to kind of ask this question and kind of have background when it comes to having guests on here. But yeah.
All right. So my question is for you, Kayla. How did you and Courtney become friends?
Oh gosh, we met in college at UK. Mm-hmm. I was a sophomore. She was a freshman. Correct me if I'm wrong, Courtney.
Oh no, you're correct.
Okay. And this was through the sorority, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were in the same sorority before I ended up dropping. But
RIP. You know.
Still friends. Yeah, and she was like the one person who was cool enough to keep hanging out with after I dropped the sorority.
Well, I think it was funny because I want to say, and I've never said the name of the sorority, which we'll keep it that way, but I low-key have roast them. We've done a whole segment about sorority life on this podcast. Ooh. Yeah. but no, I want to say it was literally you who got me in the sorority. So like, I mean, me and my friend found it online and we went to go explore it, but like I met you at one of the like meet and greet events or whatever it was you guys did to like get new people in. And I was like, man, she seems really cool. And then like, I talked to like a few new people, but still didn't know anyone that well. And I kept talking to you. And then what was it? When we went to the thing becoming like bigs and littles, that's when like, I feel like we hit it off because I found out you were my big and I was like, oh my gosh.
And like, yeah, that was excitement.
So yeah, that's how we met, guys. So back in the old college days, so we've known each other for quite a while because you graduated, what was it, a year or two earlier than me? Did you graduate in 2020?
Winter 2019.
That's right. Yeah. So it was weird because like I loved you and like all my college friends, but like when a lot of people graduated before me, I was just kind of like, oh, I'm all alone in college. This is weird.
Yeah, must have felt weird to be the younger one.
Yeah. it's not like nobody was dying, but it just felt like everyone was just disappearing. But, you know, I'm glad we still kept our connection after. All right. So, besides that, the main thing I've really wanted to ask you, because since I've known you since college, you weren't really into it, but running. So, as you guys... Oh my god, my Siri is like eavesdropping on me on my watch. I gotta put her to the side. So as you guys all know, we've talked about running on this podcast multiple times. Our friend Jenna did a half marathon for the first time. We talked about that experience. And if you guys know, I've done 2 half marathons and stuff. And me and Catherine both ran in high school and things like that. But Kayla, you didn't really run at all in college. And now you're like really big into running. How did that happen?
Yeah. So this is kind of funny because I've always like loved hiking and I ran for 1 year as a kid, but I was like, running sucks. I'm going to just stick to hiking after that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I heard about this thing called ultra running which is basically just running for a long time, but pretty slow. I'm like, wow, my hiking is almost that fast. And then my parents, who are in their 50s, ran a half marathon. I'm like, well, if they can do it, I don't really have any excuse. So I just started running. This was like maybe 3 years ago. And yep, just kept at it. Really helped my mental and physical health. And turns out I'm kind of fast. So it's really fun.
Yeah, freaking fast. Freaky fast, not freaking freaky. Jeez. Yeah. Well, just because I've seen the times you posted, I'm like, dang, like, that was how fast we were in high school. And I'm like, I can't even, well, I mean, I haven't really tried that hard, but I'm like, I can't even get back to that. What the heck?
Same.
I'm impressed. But so you briefly just mentioned your parents also do it. And I know your sister runs. So I guess, do you want to kind of briefly give like a backstory? Like, it seems like your whole family's, they're all runners, right?
Yep. Yeah. My siblings did cross country in high school, like really, really fast, like 16:45 and 18:30 were their PRs.
Jeez.
And like my parents have been running for probably 10 years now. So it's really fun. Like we all did the half and full marathon together this fall.
Mm-hmm. And so I guess this leads to my next question. You were just talking about how like you've done a lot of hiking and you're like, oh, I can do ultras because, you know, you can do that pace like for a long time and stuff. How, you know, when people talk about running, they don't think immediately ultras. So how does like, was it hard or was it crazy going from like, you know, let's say like a normal 5K, so like 3 miles all the way to like, I don't know, like 25 miles or more? Like how, like, was that crazy for you? Like, was that challenging or like, was there a time you're just like, I don't think I could do this? Or like, you know, what was that whole experience like?
Yeah. I would say the first 10 miles is the worst, like in your progression, you know, when you're starting off with your long runs, oh, my long run is 4 miles this week or 5 miles this week. And then getting to the double digits is pretty hard. But once you keep doing it and put in the consistency, it just like flies by.
Jeez.
So I think that's the hardest part. But then once you get used to it, you can just turn off your brain, go hang out in the woods with your friends and have a great time.
Yeah, I can't say I experienced the same thing. I definitely have a hard time turning off my brain.
Yeah.
I guess for me, like the mental part is the hardest for me. Like my first half marathon, like I was constantly like, my body could physically do it, but like I was constantly fighting in my mind, like, oh, I just want to walk. And I'd be like, don't walk. And then my other side, it would be like the devil and the angel. It's like, no, you gotta walk. And I'm like, no, don't do it. So I guess like, What are some of the biggest challenges you face while running ultras? Like either that's physically or mentally. Like, do you ever hit like the wall or like some kind of block that makes it hard?
Yeah. So physically and mentally, sometimes, you know, your body just starts to ache, your legs hurt, or your feet have, you know, horrific blisters. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of have to really ignore it as best you can. Unless it's something that's an actual injury, you should just keep going. So just figuring out a way to distract yourself mentally. So I'm lucky enough that most of the races I've done have been with people. And so I, instead of like thinking about how bad my foot hurts, I can talk to someone and ask them questions.
Right.
Yeah. And then like physically, it's also pretty hard to deal with my heart rate now.
Mm-hmm.
Like after surgery, I have to really monitor it and make sure that it's under a certain number. So.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Can I ask you guys a question or is that not allowed?
Oh, no, that is fully allowed.
Yes, it's allowed.
Since you guys ran in high school and Courtney, you used to run, would you guys ever consider an ultra or even just a trail race?
Okay, well, So it's funny you said that because I have been talking so much with my coworker right now and she's crazy big into racing and stuff. And also, I don't know if I've actually announced this on the podcast. I think I have barely mentioned it, but this upcoming January, I am going to sign up for my first marathon. So I am trying to get into longer distance, which that's what a full marathon is, what, 25 miles or is it 26?
26.
So I'm still grasping at how I'm gonna like mentally and physically handle that. But if I can do that and it doesn't like, you know, not kill me, but like if I don't like fully hate it, I would be open to potentially ultras or trail running, just at least trying it once. Because I will say, and I'll let Catherine talk here for a second to give her input of her thoughts and stuff, but we were, like, in high school, we grew up on trails. Like, that's all we did for running through the week and stuff. So I love trails, and I hate that living in Lexington, we had to run a lot on, like, concrete and stuff. So I would not be opposed to running, like, a trail race.
Nice.
Catherine, your thoughts about if you'll ever do ultras or anything farther than 5Ks?
I think I would be open to a trail race. I just don't know if I would have the discipline to do it. But I don't know. I like how she explained it with like longer distances at, I guess, not like a, I don't want to say slower pace, but you know what I mean? Like pacing yourself more like that. I think maybe I'd be more open to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of why I ultimately love 10Ks. Like, some people, so I'm a part of a group running with, but some of them only done 5Ks, and they think I'm crazy because they're like, you like the 10Ks? And I'm like, hey, look, at least I'm not saying that the half marathons are my favorite. But I like 10Ks because I feel like it gives you, like, enough time. Like, I can still go slow, but I feel like within those miles, at the end of it, I get kind of, like, that boost of energy again to, like, finish it strong, you know?
That's true. It's not, like, punishingly long.
Yeah. Whereas, like, 3 miles, like, I'm, like, you're pushing it so hard, but then you're just, like, that's it. That's all you have. Just that time frame. But it's, like, it goes by really quick.
That's true.
So, yeah. I don't know. Catherine, do you have any questions you want to ask Kayla about running? I'm just trying to throw you in here, so it's not just me talking all the time.
It's okay. Let's see. One second. I was thinking of one. Let's see. I guess you said, let's see. I guess one question I have is, what is the longest race that you've ran so far?
It was billed as a 50K, which is technically 31 miles, but it was really like 34 and a half miles.
Okay. Wow, that's a lot of miles.
Yeah. That was but actually, like, really fun.
But you said, like, talking to people and stuff is, like, what helps you get through it?
Yeah, I ran that one with my friend on the first loop. It was, like, a 3-loop race on the first loop. And then my sister joined me to pace me for the last 2 loops. So, like, it was really, really fun. We were just enjoying our caffeinated gels and you know, cookies and crackers and pretzels and Gatorade and stuff. And I just remember at mile 25, the person handing out the food to us was like, you guys look so chipper for being at mile 25. I've never seen people this chipper.
Oh geez. Now when you say loops, how long is the loop? Because you said your sister ran the last 2.
Yeah, so she did actually run like 22 miles. They were about 11 and change.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh geez, that's, oh gosh, I can't imagine, but you know, it's fine. That's awesome. That's just that's crazy. One of the other things I wanted to ask when it comes to your running, so I mean, obviously I know, but you know, for your career, you're a teacher, so is it hard balancing your training and racing schedule with work and other aspects of your life?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, not really, because I make it a priority. I just try to go after work, because I don't want to run in the dark unless I have to. So I'll try to run after work. And then when I was a coach this year, that was really nice because I got to run with my kids. But then I would always have to do extra miles on my own. So I would just try to run, you know, a few weekdays and then at least one good weekend long run. So it sometimes changes, and that can be hard, like figuring out when I want to go to church or what I'm doing on a Saturday morning or if I'm going to do it on the trail or on the road, but I always find a way to get in a good long run.
Yeah, I mean, that's awesome. You're definitely more committed than I have been. Because I mean, I have to ask. So, like, I know you said you definitely, like, run with people in the races, so it helps get the time by and you're not worrying about, like, your foot or, like, any injuries or things like that, but when you're training and you're running, are you running with people or are you running by yourself?
Most long runs are alone. sorry, most long runs are in a group. The weekday runs tend to be alone, unless I can find people or harass people into running. Like,
harass people.
Kinda,
hey, kinda, let's go running.
Yeah, encouraging one of my coworkers to run with me. But yeah.
Okay. So. Well, the only reason I asked, because, like, I know there's, like, of course, Wednesday nights, I've been trying to run with the group, and they run in the dark, and I'm like, scary. But, like, majority of the week, it's always me running by myself, since I don't have, like, a lot of people who want to do that. And so, for me, it's really hard to motivate or push myself, because sometimes it's just, like, you know, it's like a constant battle with yourself. So, I didn't know, like, is there any times where, like, you have a hard time, like, either on the weekends, like, waking up being like, oh, am I actually going to force myself to run? Like, do you ever have, like, moments, like, it's, like, really hard to talk yourself into, like, getting the workout done or, you know, anything like that?
Yeah, usually, like, after work, I'm just exhausted from, you know, yelling at kids. And I just want to, you know, sit down on the couch. But if I sit down on the couch, it's going to be so hard to get up. So I honestly just have to, you know, get home, immediately change, and immediately run. Because then it's just going to be a battle of trying to get myself to get out of the house. And I always feel better after I do it, so.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. I mean, because I literally try to run as soon as I'm done with work as well, because I'm just like, you got to do it now, or if you go home, you're just like, ugh, I don't want to do it.
Right.
So there is one last question I want to ask before we kind of transition into talking about something else that you've briefly kind of mentioned surgery but didn't say what. But when it comes to running, do you have any future goals for it or for your ultras? Or, you know, is it times or like any, like, do you want to hit even further distances? Like, what are some goals that you have?
Yeah, that's a good question. Biggest goal is qualifying for Boston next year. I ran a 3:36 in October, so I would have to break 3:30. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to go in with a goal of 3:20 if I can. And then, you know, that's my dream goal for my April marathon. I'd also like to be able to run 50 miles. So
really?
That might just happen on my own. Like, well, I mean, with my friends, mm-hmm. I might just text some people and say, hey guys, I'm going to go running in the woods today. See how far I can go. Come by if you want to join me.
Oh, wow.
So that would be really fun. And then also break 20 again in the 5K. So I did that last year, and then this year I got out of shape a little bit, so I'd like to break 20 again.
Yeah, I mean, those all seem like valid, awesome goals. I mean, especially Boston, because I did hear, like, even if you hit the qualifying time for your age category and stuff, that you still have to be, is it 5 minutes faster?
Yeah, this year it's like 5 minutes and 24 seconds or 29 seconds. I don't know. It's a lot.
Jeez. Yeah, that's crazy. But hey, you know what? We'll be cheering you on here, not physically, but mentally. We're rooting for you and hope that you achieve those future goals. So we want to transition a little bit over to a different topic. And I know you told me a little bit about this because I saw you make a lot of posts and comments about it, and I kind of swiped up and I was like, what's happening? What's going on? And you briefly just mentioned surgery, but do you kind of want to explain to everybody kind of what you've recently gone through?
Yeah. So, okay. In July, July 12th, to be specific, I was feeling my neck and I found this lump on my right side of my neck. And I'm like, kind of weird, but I'm sometimes a hypochondriac, so it's probably nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, the next day I was like, still there. I'm going to have, like, my friends and family feel it and see if they can tell. And they could tell. So went to the doctor. He's like, it's probably nothing, but we'll give you a blood test and stuff to be sure. And an ultrasound. And my blood test was normal, but my ultrasound showed that it's, like, it was an 80% chance of being cancer. So we actually got those results when we were on a trip out west, like several hours away from home. We ended up canceling our trip so we could come back because, you know, that ultrasound was not a good result. And even my mom said, she said, oh, it's not that bad because it's only an ultrasound. It's not a biopsy. And I said, well, they gave it a classification that's 80% cancerous. So then I went from there, like, I got a biopsy, which hurt a lot, and then It was thyroid cancer, but it was the more treatable type. So I got in super quick for surgery, had surgery August 11th. It was kind of rough for a few weeks, and then now I don't have a thyroid anymore, so I take this pill every day. I have hot flashes now, and I have to watch my heart rate, but I'm alive, so that's good.
Jeez, that's crazy. But I mean, that's awesome. You're cancer-free.
Yeah.
I guess, and Catherine, you're a nurse, so you might know some things more medically than I do, because I don't know anything. And, you know, again, hop in whenever you want to ask questions. But, so... I do want to ask you more questions about your treatment and stuff, but like, so you said you no longer have a thyroid. What makes it like you have to constantly worry about your heart rate?
So the pill that they give me to take every day, mm-hmm. Replaces my thyroid function. And we want that dose to be kind of high, like bordering on hyperthyroidism, because that will make my brain release less TSH. So TSH is what my brain tells my thyroid to do. It's like, grow back. Mm-hmm. But we don't want it to grow back because that means cancer. So
we have to
suppress that level. And then bordering on that hyperthyroidism just means I get all those symptoms and your heart rate can get really high. And I get pretty hot and sweaty now. Sometimes can't sleep very well at night. Things like that.
Jeez. That's wild. But so going back to that, how did it make you feel? Like, were you, when you first found out, like when they're like, it could potentially be cancerous, like did it like just ultimately like just scare you? Like, I didn't know like how much you knew about like cancers and stuff. Like, did you ultimately like think it might be thyroid cancer, or are you just like constantly, did your mind just go straight to the worst? Like, oh my gosh, what does this mean? Am I like, is this going to be bad, or, you know, what's going to happen?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty worried with, like the biopsy and everything like that when I didn't know. And especially because like, if you have a lump in your neck, it could be thyroid cancer, or it could be, lymphoma, which is still one of the more treatable ones, but, you go through a lot more treatment than with thyroid cancer. So ultimately I got the, you know, lesser of the two evils. Mm-hmm. I started Googling things, and it's, you know, learning that it's extremely treatable was comforting, but at the end of the day, it is still cancer. So mm-hmm. I guess I would oscillate between, you know, being like, oh, you know, I'm throwing a pity party for myself because I'm 25 and have cancer. And then mm-hmm. being like, well, other people have it way worse, and it's honestly not that bad. So
that's true. I mean, I guess that's a more positive way of thinking about it, because in the same breath, my mom could have done the same thing. I don't think I've said this on the podcast before, but for those of you who don't know, when I was in fourth grade, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer. She actually, just like you, found the lump herself, and luckily she found it before it got bigger, so it was like a smaller stage where they were able to treat it. And you know, she went through it, ended up surviving and being cancer free, and she's been cancer free for like, gosh, I don't really know the number, but I want to say at least 10 or more years now. But you know, like it's like the same thing. You could dwell so negative, and you could think so negatively and worry about it, but then you can be like, you know what? Like, think the positive side. Like, it's gone. I'm free. You know, I'm still alive. So that's definitely crazy. I definitely do think the way you, I guess, view it definitely helps. I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, like when you're going through like the process and everything.
No, that's true. Having the positive mindset helped.
Mm-hmm. Now, when it came to the treatment, I mean, because you made it sound like you found it in July, and then you had the, what, surgery in August?
Yeah.
So what was the treatment like? Like, did you have to go through chemo? Like, was anything crazy, or did you have to go to like a lot of doctor's appointments, or was it like fairly somewhat simple?
It was honestly pretty simple. Like, I mean, I didn't really have to do chemo, which is great. That is like, that's almost never required for a thyroid cancer, which is super great. Mm-hmm. So I had to like do a consult with my surgeon and a few things like that. And then I just went in for surgery. Now I do have a lot of follow-up appointments, and I have to get a lot of follow-up ultrasound and mm-hmm. Get blood work done.
So at any point, if like one of my blood results is bad, like if it shows that my thyroid is growing back or that I could potentially have a recurrence of cancer, I would have to do something called radioactive iodine, which is like a radioactive pill that would target thyroid cells. Or potentially I might need another surgery in the future. But those are, you know, they're still treatments, but they're still way better than chemotherapy and traditional radiation. So pretty lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, chemo is a whole different thing. It's crazy. Catherine, I feel bad. I feel like we've talked a lot. Do you want to hop in here? Do you have any questions?
Don't feel bad, Courtney. It's okay.
No, you know me. I'm just a talker. So I want to give you space to ask anything.
Okay. I do have one question for you, Kayla. Did the cancer, like your thyroid cancer and your treatment with surgery, did it affect your running at all? Like, did you have to stop for a little while after surgery, like post-op?
That's a good question. Yeah, I did have to stop, not for that long. I took 8 days off running. I tried to run, but because of, I reacted to the intubation, and it was really hard to breathe for a while there. So even running 8 days after at a, 14-minute mile pace, I could barely get a breath in. So I took, you know, another week off, and then basically after that, I could run more easily. I would still have breathing struggles at faster paces. So, at first, you know, running in the eights would be really painful. Like, I could hardly breathe. Then as the months passed, running in the sevens would be painful. And then just now, I'm finally getting into my fitness of, running in the sixes again. So.
Jeez.
I can't even imagine. Hurting to breathe. Oh.
Yeah, is that ever, scary? Because, I don't know what that feels like, but, because obviously thyroid's, what, in your neck? Just feeling of struggling to breathe?
Yeah, it was pretty scary. After surgery, I could barely get a breath in, and I woke up out of my sleep coughing because I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. So I had to be on a few courses of steroids. Jeez. But eventually that went away, and then I would just not run at those faster paces for a while because I do like breathing.
Yeah.
Like you guys do.
You're like, I need that oxygen to my brain.
Yeah. My secret ingredient.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Man. Don't we just love it? See, at work a few days ago, instead of saying oxygen, I accidentally said, you just gotta need that H2O. And people were like, Courtney, that's water. And I was like, you know what? I meant oxygen. I'm sorry.
You need that O2?
Yeah. I need that O2. Yeah, I mean, that's wild. So when you went through the treatment and the surgery, I mean, you live with your, well, I don't know if you live with your parents, but you're near your parents. Did you have a lot of support?
Yeah.
Just when it came to everything?
I do live with my parents, and that was honestly amazing. I highly recommend living with your parents when you have cancer.
I hope that nobody has to experience that.
Yeah. So they were, super great. My mom is a teacher, so she was on break at the time. So she was able to stay at home with me, take me to surgery. And my dad makes his own hours at work, so he could be with me too. So that was really nice, having to be stuck at home in bed. At least I had them to help entertain me. And Sam, my fiance, was there too. He, in fact, stayed up the entire night that we were in the ER after surgery. And he was just wonderful, bringing me pillows and setting me up with things and bringing me ice cream. So,
hey, you know what they say? That's love, man.
Exactly.
What do they say? What is it? Through sickness and health.
Yeah.
Gotta get you a man who's gonna support you. As I say that, as I'm single. that's great. I'm glad to hear that, obviously you had a good support system and a lot of people who were there with you, and you didn't have to go through that alone.
Yeah.
Because I know some people who, you know, they have to go through that by themselves, and it can definitely be challenging not having like a huge support system to help motivate you and get you through it. I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to ask. I guess when it comes to your experience, I know, you know, you said you're still on medication and have to watch your heart rate, and, you know, you have a few, I guess, side effects after going through it. But is there any, I guess, well, there's two things. Has this experience kind of shaped your perspective on life and health? You know, if so, what is that? And then what would be some advice you'd give someone who has recently been diagnosed with thyroid cancer?
Ooh, good questions. I guess to the first one, like, yes, it's changed my mindset on things. I was in a lot of pain after that first surgery, like moving my neck, moving my head. I couldn't even sleep laying down for a week. But I felt so much suffering. This is going to sound, you know, like I'm pitying myself, but
you're not.
It's going somewhere, I promise. I decided, you know, if I'm going to suffer, I'm going to suffer voluntarily. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep signing up for these, you know, aggressive long distance races, and it's going to, you know, it might be painful and it might suck for a little bit, and I might suffer, but at least I'm going to choose to suffer. So yeah. I told my mom this thought, like at the end of like maybe a week or two after surgery, I said, you know what, this is so much suffering. I can totally run a 50 miler easy.
Oh my gosh.
Way less painful than this. So,
you know, that's yeah. That's a great way to look on that.
Yeah. And your other question was the advice to someone who,
like, it doesn't have to just be diagnosed with thyroid cancer, but I guess like going through like any yeah. cancer, or like just finding out that they're being diagnosed with it.
I guess I would say, you know, do lots of research. Make sure you're aware of everything that's going on so that you're not, you know, in the dark with your treatment and your doctors. And like, you know, have those moments to feel bad for yourself, mm-hmm. like respect the feelings that you feel. But then also try to find a way to move forward and try to find the positive things, mm-hmm. like even when it's hard.
Well said. I think, yeah, that's definitely, cause I feel like, I mean, rather it's cancer or rather it's, you know, losing your job or anything in life, if you just focus so much on the negative, it's just, it makes it so hard to get out of that mindset, you know?
That's true.
Like, especially nope. people, like, when it comes to, like, depression and things like that, it's just, it's so, once you just get overwhelmed with those thoughts, it's just, it's really hard. So, yeah, I definitely think it's hard, but, yeah, the best is to try to get out of that. Sorry, yeah. I'm like losing my words right now. I'm just kind of like just all over the place. But yeah, I mean, thank you for sharing your thyroid cancer experience with us, or story, I should say. Mm-hmm. 'Cause you know, that's definitely a lot. So this is going to be a weird, I guess, kind of twist. And we're going to, I guess, take a break from constantly hounding you, Kayla, with so many questions.
Okay.
But so with this basically for all you listeners, this is our last episode of the year. And last year we did like a goodbye 2022 and a hello 2023. And so as you guys know, from the beginning of 2023, we had so many goals, so many things we wanted to accomplish. And wanted to share with you guys, like, our experience and making sure we're, like, following them and getting through them through the year. And I guess right now, and Kayla, we'll definitely ask you questions, too, about your year. Don't worry. You're not off the hook. But I guess, Catherine, I want to take it to you. What – I know you mentioned a little bit in the last episode, but what are some things that you feel pretty proud of that you mentioned? And it doesn't have to be just goals when it came to, like, you know, your career and stuff, but, like, what are some things like that you feel pretty proud that you've, you know, achieved, or things that you've changed this year? Because I'm trying to remember what you said in the beginning of this year as well. It's kind of hard.
I know. I wish I took a screenshot because I think it's somewhere on my computer. Oh. I'm not fine. But a lot of it was like saving up a certain amount, and then it was let's see, like paying off, you know, certain things like my car, and I did accomplish that. And then it was more career oriented based. So like finding a job that made me happy. Like I started out in one area of nursing that I didn't really like, I really enjoyed it and the experience I got, but I run into transition and something else that I really enjoyed more. And so I found that and I ended up in the endoscopy department.
What are they called?
Colonoscopies and EGDs.
Yeah, the butt scopes or the I don't know the words.
Yes. Yes. So the pediatric colonoscope and the gastroscopes, Courtney.
Yes, those are the words.
Yes. Well, that's the words that you were using that most people probably refer to it as, but I thankfully got to do that and transition more into a job that had better hours and days and stuff like that. And then let's see what else. Read more books. Definitely did not accomplish that. not gotten that yet. We'll put that on for next year.
Yeah, just add that. Just read like 10 books in the next, like, what, 3 days or how many days we have left of the year.
Yeah. So maybe next week. Yeah, I still got next week. So we'll see. And then let's see. And then traveling. Like, we were gonna go to Washington, but now I put on there like traveling to Japan
2025. Woo!
So saving up for that and being able to do that with you. And then I think that was about it. I mean, volunteered at Humane Society, and I did that and started that. I need to get back into that, but
well, I know. Before I switch and tell my spiel, I know, like, for me, I feel like I kind of grew more as a person this year. Is there, like, I guess any things when it comes to, like, not physically, I don't know if I should say mentally, that you think you've definitely grown as a person or changed this year?
I guess contrarian to moving out and living on my own, that definitely has changed things.
Got that freedom. And, like,
yes. And then, like, well, just learning how to, like, balance things and, I guess, like, financially, and then, I don't know, like, between friends and family as well, and just, like, things of that nature. But it's definitely made me more disciplined in that way. And then, I guess more, I don't want to say confident, but I don't know what the right word is. But
I mean, you know, confidence is definitely
independent,
a word.
I guess.
You know, or both. I mean, like, you know, the more you learn to be stable with your income in life, you know, you feel confident, like you know what you're doing, and you feel a little bit more, is it secure, maybe, might be the better word?
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a good word for it.
Well, nice. Mine's, I don't know. So, I told you guys, I think, last year, I have this Canva page where every year, it was based on Spencer, I think her last name is Barbosa, on social media. It's called A Girl with Goals. And so I made one for 2023 in the beginning of the year, and I told you guys about it. I have, let's see, 1, 2, 3. There's like maybe 5 that didn't get done, but also they're like crazier goals that will take a little bit longer. But I had maybe probably almost 20 goals on here, and I want to say a lot of them happened. I mean, it's just funny. It's weird to think, like, how is it called making your, what is it, turning your ideas and dreams into, is it not intuition? Gosh, I'm like blanking on the right words, but I guess it's crazy to think, like, things that I thought that were always just going to be idea actually coming to life this year. I think that's what really blew my mind. And like I said, like, becoming SCUTA certified, that was like a huge thing. And for me to actually follow through with getting this gear, going through the classes, surviving it, and then actually joining the club. And, like, you know, I'm trying to get into it even more this year. I'm trying to do another trip with them, to Pennyroyal. And, you know, I did pumpkin carving. So that was pretty crazy. Seeing a punk band concert, getting back into more races, doing another half and 10Ks, and then hopefully, you know, next year a full. I'm trying to think of what else things. Oh, I mean, and Catherine, I think you can probably agree with this. I feel pretty proud of this podcast, guys. I mean, we told you guys we wanted to get a lot more guests on this year, And I know it's not a whole lot, but I feel like it's a whole step in the right direction. And you guys have seemed to enjoy those episodes. I mean, you all enjoyed when we had our friend Catherine Callahan come on, talk about no social media. And when we had Spencer. And did we have Ryan on this year?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we did. Haha. Well, no, I think it was right before. No, yeah. No, I think we did.
We did.
But yeah, and like just, you know, trying new things. Like we drove razors and we were crazy. And Catherine got us covered in dirt. I just.
Yes, that was fun.
I don't know. I guess for me, when I'm talking about, as I told you guys, like in 2022, like 2022 broke me. And I guess as I talked to you all in the beginning, I thought 2023 was just going to be all about healing and kind of finding myself. And I feel like, boy, I was wrong. It was so much more. Like this past year, not only did I accomplish a lot of dreams, but I have laughed so hard to the point of crying many times when it came to like my coworkers or just friends. And I met some pretty awesome people. And it's just crazy that, like, you know, that's the funny part of life. Like, we don't know where we're going, but the journey is just like a crazy ride. You might just think it's going to be this way, and it ends up turning like the opposite. So, I don't know. I feel like this year was filled, and I think Catherine, you can agree because you were on a lot of these adventures. But I want to say 2023 was filled of what was it? Getting out of our comfort zone. You know, like you got an apartment, you got a different job, and then we drove razors, and I got certified and did crazy stuff and worked with raccoons. So, it was a pretty wild time. And now, Kayla, I guess I want to shift that to you because I want to ask you one question about that. And then I wanted to kind of like ask, you know, since we're kind of talking about our overall goals and stuff, you know, kind of wanted to incorporate, you know, you in. I know, like, we talked a lot about your running, but was it hard for you? You know, like, I guess not only just like running, but like this year, was there other ways, like getting out of your comfort zone or like, you know, things like that?
Let's see.
Sorry, I know that was like the worst way to word that.
It's okay. Okay, so I referenced my fiance earlier, and this podcast.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always a little bit out of your comfort zone to get on the apps and start online dating, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got back to online dating at the beginning of this year, ended up meeting my fiance.
Ooh.
This year, beginning of March. So yeah, we met, we got out of our comfort zones, and immediately, you know, after the first date, I was like, yep, he's my person. This is it. Right now we're engaged and planning a wedding. But I think that was just a testament to how, you know, online dating can be hard a lot, but all it needs to do is work one time.
Yeah.
So getting out of my comfort zone really worked there.
Oh yeah. I mean, online dating is scary. I mean, you guys know from the past episode, the episode before this, me talking about trying to talk to other guys, like going to each conversation and talking to someone you don't even know, or just trying to get yourself back out there and meeting somebody new. Oh, it's completely scary. So kudos to you for finding somebody. And guys, just so you all know, I met Sam and he is a nice man. So I think they're going to be awesome together.
Thanks.
Yeah. but yeah. Catherine, I know we talked about a little bit of our adventures, but do you have any other things that you want to talk about? Like getting out of your comfort zone, kind of what things you've... Well, you know, actually, you also met a man this year, too. So I guess you also got your out of comfort zone talking to somebody new.
Yes, I did. Definitely with that.
Yep.
But,
Oh, geez.
I don't know.
Well, I guess Wait, what were you going to say?
Hmm?
No, I said, what were you going to say?
Oh, no,
okay.
You go.
But I guess I wanted to ask you all both, like, obviously we've all taken like steps into trying new things this year, whether it's like dating or it's like fun adventures. And, you know, there's so much more to come in 2024, but is there any advice or anything, and you guys can both take turns, like, what advice would you give somebody to getting out of their comfort zone? Like to take that leap, rather it's something small, like, you know, going, like, joining a club or, like, trying to run or, like, making new friends, like, just anything. Like, how, Because I know people get, you know, you get scared. You don't really want to, like, branch out and try something new because it's completely doesn't feel comfortable. You know, it's something new.
Yeah, I would say don't think about it too hard. Just do it. Like, you have something you've been thinking about wanting to do. Okay, don't keep analyzing it to death. Mm-hmm. Just get out there and do it. Like, if a guy asks you out for dinner, don't, you know, think about it for days on end. Just, like, say, sure. And then, you know, you can always say no after the first date if you don't want to go out again. Or if you've been wanting to sign up for a race, or if you're wanting to go with scooters or whatever you guys did. just do it. Don't just sit around thinking about what it could be like. Just get out and do it.
Yeah. Excuse my language. Just say fuck it, you know? Or, like, what is it, Shia LaBeouf, how he's like, just do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Catherine, you got any words of wisdom over there?
So I always say, Courtney, live your life to the fullest.
Amen.
Amen, goodbye.
Catherine's like, on that note, I'm hopping off.
No. Yeah, live it to the fullest. And obviously in safe ways, like, don't go trying, I don't know.
Don't go jump off a cliff. Like,
you know, on TikTok they have, you know, those little messages like, this is, or you know what I mean, like, it can cause harm.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yes, please don't do that unless you are professionally trained.
Yeah, I mean, don't, like, just, like, one day be like, I'm just gonna go jump out of plane. Like, you know, take your classes, learn your lessons. Don't do anything too crazy or stupid. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that was good. Yeah, I just think it's so funny also looking back on all this, because what was it, in 2022, and not to shit on him, but I guess we are a little bit, my ex was always like, yeah, I'm moving to a different city and, like, state. I got to get out of my comfort zone, all this stuff. And I used to be like, no, I mean, like, you don't have to fully move somewhere to get out of your comfort zone. Like, you're getting out of your comfort zone. It's just changing small things, like, now. And I still stand by that to this day. I mean, you guys saw me this year. I didn't have to move to a different state to try something new. Like, I'm in a city that, you know, this is, like, my, almost 3 years living here now, but I didn't really know many people that well besides my coworkers. And I found organizations, I got involved, and it was pretty awesome. And none of that would have happened if I didn't get out of my comfort zone. So don't be afraid, guys. As Kayla said, just do it. But yeah, and I just want to say again, because we're kind of wrapping this up soon. But I just want to thank all the listeners this year. The support you guys have given us compared to even the past 2 years had just been crazy. When we did our, what was it, Catherine, our Spotify Wrapped? Is that mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It was just wild just to see that for 16 people, we were in their top 10. And for 14 people, we were in their top 5 podcast. And then for, I think it was 3 people, we were their top number 1. I was just like, geez, like, you know, we have a podcast and I know that some people listen, but then, like, to find out, like, that data, it blew my mind. I was like, wow, we actually have people who actually like to listen to what we have to say and, you know, support us. So I just want to thank you guys, for being awesome listeners this year. And we really hope that 2024, we're going to give you more content, going to hopefully get more guests, and we're going to try new things. Right now we're working on making more social media posts on our Instagram. So please be looking forward to that. And yeah, and, like, you know, 2023 isn't the end. We're just getting started, whether it's podcasts and life. And so I guess just the advice for this year is just, like, don't ever put your life on hold. Like, just live it, like, as Catherine just said, like, the cheesy, you know, corny, live it to the fullest. Like, don't, like, as Kayla said, don't be analyzing stuff thinking, well, I have to wait until I get this or until I do this and stuff. It's just, like, just do it. Like, don't make any, like, what ifs or excuses for you, because then you're just going to push it back for years and it's just not going to happen. And, you know, I used to think like that a lot, and this year I just kind of went for it, and so many things have changed. So I'm very grateful for that, and I'm grateful and thankful for all your listeners. And so with that as well, since I know in a few days it's going to be Christmas, I just want to tell you guys happy holidays for those who don't celebrate, and also Merry Christmas. And as one of my coworkers mentioned recently, we did like a Christmas video. I feel like for the Christmas and for the holidays, it's not about looking back. And it's not about looking ahead. It's about looking around. So look around at the people you have in your life and the amazing, hopefully, amazing life you get to live. And, you know, just spend that time with people. Be in the present. Because we have all the time in the world to be worrying about our future or, you know, thinking about our past. So I hope you guys have an awesome time during the holidays with your family and friends. Catherine and Kayla, do you guys have any final words before we close out and say our goodbyes?
I guess just thanks for having me on. It's been great.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. We are so we were so excited to have you as a guest.
Mm-hmm. And then I guess I would have to say basically what you said, Court. Happy holidays. And to be present and be grateful for your loved ones.
Do you have any thoughts or words for our viewers for this past year? I'm not trying to put you on the hot spot, but
just want to say thank you, and thank you for supporting us, and we'll see you next year.
Yeah, look forward to more unhinged, crazy content in 2024.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Well, thank you guys for listening, and thank you, Kayla, for being here. We're so happy and glad to have you on here. And, you know, if you ever want to join us again, we would always love to have you back. We're always open to guests.
Yeah,
that could be fun.
Yeah. But yeah, thank you guys. Thanks for listening. And be sure to look out for another episode after the new year. So 2024. Mm-hmm. So we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.